Chapter 12. Being a trans woman with autism is sometimes pretty rad. A lot of this book so far has been about being trans and having autism and why both those things can be pretty tough and complicated and upsetting, and generally pretty exhausting. I'm not gonna lie, a lot of the time those are the prevailing feelings I have about those aspects of who I am. A lot of my life I spend frustrated by my inability to be like everyone else, my inability to be comfortable with who I was born as, and upset by the ways the world tries to punish me for the circumstances of my birth. However, that's not always the case. More than once in my life I've been asked by some inquisitive stranger, if there was a cure for being trans or having autism, would you take it? Well, there are for sure some days I'd give anything for a quiet mind or the feeling of dysphoria to vanish. On balance, I don't think I'd want those aspects of who I am erased from my life, because there are some real positives to being trans and queer and on the autism spectrum. So I'm going to dedicate some words here to talking about the things I love about being trans and on the autism spectrum. I think it's important we do so, because if people could start seeing trans status and autism as having positives rather than just being purely negative, maybe it'd become more apparent why there's such a need for society to adapt and accommodate for our existence, rather than trying to sweep us under the carpet or pretending we don't exist. There's value in helping us to live more comfortably as we are, rather than trying to erase those aspects of us. So, what do I love about being on the autism spectrum? Well, while sometimes I struggle to mentally disconnect from a task properly, during the time I'm working on that task, I'm laser focused on it. It's my whole world. It's what allowed me to write 4 chapters of this book, or at least draft them, in a single train ride during the spring of 2018, and plays a big factor in the way I've made my career working as a media critic. I can shut out the world around me and just lock myself into the task at hand, obsessively drinking in every possible detail. It allows me to push onward with work when I might not feel up to it, and has played a huge role in my ability to remain focused as a work-from-home writer. Without that laser focus, I would have had a lot more trouble resisting the urge to do some non-work-related activities during my working day, as someone whose living room and office are a couple of feet apart. While my sensory oversensitivity is sometimes a hindrance, causing me to get overwhelmed and limiting my ability to get through life, it has also made me aware that I have tools that most people lack, which can help me to calm down in situations where others cannot. While stimming is usually a way for me to get through periods of sensory overload, the calming nature of stimming, for me, often works to calm me in far more traditionally stressful situations. I know if I'm anxious and upset, I can listen to a My Chemical Romance album, like 3 Cheers for Sweet Revenge, on loop, and the safety and comfort of a known quantity occupying my brain will bring me back to calmness. I know I can pop a weighted blanket on my lap while handling a stressful email, and have less trouble dealing with it. I can spin a spinner ring during a job interview and bring myself to that place of calm focus. For events that for others are stressful and anxiety-inducing, I have years of practice with coping mechanisms which enable me to manage these more effectively. Also, let's talk about happy stimming, one of the most joyous things in this world. Stimming is so often seen as just a negative, a way to get through overwhelming negative experiences. But happy stimming is a thing too, and it's a joy the neurotypical world never really gets to engage with. Sometimes, when I'm overwhelmed by excitement, I will just flap my hands, because there's so much happiness I physically can't contain it. I guess the closest experience for the neurotypical community is the idea of jumping for joy. Happy stimming is similar, but turned up to the extreme. It's a cyclical experience where extreme positivity causes stimming, and then the stimming helps to focus on just that positive experience, which in turn makes the positive experience more intense. It's a beautiful, non-verbal expression of positivity that just feels like it transcends words. I remember one of the most exciting moments of my life, being pulled on stage by singer Gerard Way, my all-time favourite singer, during a concert in London, leaving the stage and just rocking and flapping and twirling with overwhelmed happiness, and it's one of the happiest memories of my life. On top of all that, there's my obsessive fascination. I've mentioned already that I work as a media critic, and I honestly don't think I'd be able to do the job I have without my obsessive brain and its thirst for information about the things I love. I drink up numbers and data and facts and correlation and catalogue them in a very rigid ways that allows me to pull from a lot of knowledge and talk about a wide variety of subjects with experience. The isolation that comes part and parcel with autism spectrum conditions for many is portrayed as a purely negative thing, but I like to view it as having a positive. The fact it allows me to be incredibly introspective about my own life experiences. When you spend as much of your life as I do, just sort of isolated in your own head, you have a lot of time with your own thoughts, and a lot of incentive to understand yourself. Other people for a long time wanted nothing to do with me, and as I didn't really understand how to read other people to understand the problem, I focused on understanding myself to get to the root of the mismatch in interactions. This led to me learning to be very on top of my own feelings, beliefs, and thought processes. This level of personal introspection has also been invaluable to my work as a writer. I don't think I'd be able to write with as much clarity about my life experiences and explain to others my difficulties and unique perspective if not for the insular introspection that living with autism has afforded me. Lastly, while oversensitivity to sensory information can sometimes be overwhelming to a ludicrous degree, it's also really useful for being able to feel okay when spending lots of time alone. I work alone from home and I have to be okay with large spells of social isolation, something that many people find exacerbates issues like depression. I tend to find it doesn't have that effect on me, largely because it's hard to feel alone when there's constant static and noise happening. I can always hear cars driving past which I know are full of people, water moving through pipes that will pass under people's homes. I can see animals like birds and insects moving outside my window. I can't tune the world out, and as such I never really forget that the world exists around me. It's pretty hard to feel alone in a world this constantly loud and busy and full of experiences. In terms of being transgender, I find most of the positives I've gleaned are less about how my brain works and more about the kind of person I've become over the years as a result of transition. I grew up assigned male, and as such spent a number of years inhabiting spaces designed for men, full of men, and assumed by the men in them to only contain men. As a result, I saw a lot of the worst of what men can do firsthand, and got a real understanding of how men act when they think women are not around. The terrifying rhetoric and attitudes casually thrown around regarding women as conquests, possessions, and prizes to unlock, as things men are entitled to, are hard to really appreciate without first-hand understanding. As horrible as it was to experience those things while not identifying comfortably as male, it has allowed me a really valuable insight into some of the issues that need tackling societally in terms of toxic elements of masculine culture, and has allowed me to fight for change from a place of first-hand knowledge. I've also experienced first-hand the differences in the way male-presenting and female-presenting people are treated, which, while unpleasant, gave me a great deal of understanding of the realities of systemic privilege in society. Prior to my transition, when I was a masculine presenting, I felt safer travelling home at night. I was treated with a greater deal of respect, interrupted less often, taken more seriously as an expert in my field, and granted more space in the world. Men used to put their legs together when they sat next to me. Now they spread them wide, denying me space. Men used to concede space to me when walking down the street. Now they walk in a straight line and put the expectation to move on me. Having experienced life on different sides of the gender presentation spectrum, I've learnt to understand the place privilege has in society. I now understand better the privilege I possess as a white person, for example, and how important it is to be aware of that, as well as fighting to address those imbalances where they exist, a perspective I might not possess without that personal experience. I've also learnt to fight more for the breaking down of gendered expectations, for men as well as women. While living as male-presenting, there were experiences in life denied to me on the basis of gender, like dancing and dolls. As a woman, I'm often assumed not to be qualified to talk about my areas of expertise, like video games and computers. These expectations are nonsense. We should be fighting for men to be able to wear dresses if they want, even if they're not trans, and for women to be able to engage with masculine assumed interests without dissuasion. Not every person who wants to experience cross-gender interests is trans. Not all of them want to transition or feel dysphoria, and we should be supportive of them. Lastly, transition has changed the balance of my emotional spectrum in a way that I feel is nothing but a positive. I experience less anger and more sadness, which feels like a far more healthy negative emotion to experience, and a far easier emotion to understand and process. I feel more joy, more glee, more empathy, more love. Getting my body cleared of testosterone and pumped full of estrogen not only changed my body, but it changed my emotional range to one that feels a lot more healthy and in line with who I want to be. And also, you know, since transition, I feel a huge boost in confidence. I've had to fight for my right to be me, and every time I look at my appearance, I get reminded that I got to choose who I am. Every beautiful aspect of me, from my appearance to my fashion sense to my friends, is something I chose and crafted. I threw away a version of me I was unhappy with and crafted a new me who made me happy. I overcame my own unhappiness by revamping myself. No matter how hard the world tried, it couldn't stop me. That feels pretty empowering. If I was suddenly a cis woman tomorrow, I wouldn't have that sense of pride in myself that I had travelled this road and come out the other side, the strong warrior princess I am today. I really wouldn't change those aspects of myself, even if sometimes life is hard for me.